Says in the bottom of Chav Zayim and Aleph, there's a nusach tefillah we say in Rosh Hashanah that Zeha Yom Tchias Maasecha Zikaron Liyom Rishon. That the creation of the world took place Rosh Hashanah Aleph Tishrei. Because and the Gemara asks, Kaman who does it go like? Goes like Rabbi Eliezer Damar B'Tishrei Nivra Olam. Machlokas, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. When exactly was the world created? Was it created in Tishrei? Was it created in Nisan? Gemara connects it to some other things as well. You know, when will the Gula be? Will the Gula be in Tishrei? Will it be in Nisan? So Tosos points out, he says, there seems to be a steer in the different putim that we say in Rosh Hashanah versus Shmi Atzeres versus Pesach. He says, that which we say in Shmi Atzeres and Geshem, we say Tishrei Nivra Olam, is like Rabbi Eliezer. And that which we say on Pesach, that it's created, the world was created in Nisan, so that's like Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbeinu Tam says, Eilu ve'eilu divakim chayim, they're both true. Vikla meimar betishrei ola b'machshava. Kadosh Baruch had the thought. He conceived of the idea to create in Tishrei, v'lo nivra ad Nisan, but he didn't actually, the Maisa created until it came along Nisan. So hope you got a chance to see Rabbi Yosef Engel. Those who didn't know, there's a difference between a gilyon hashas and gilyonei. Hashas, gilyon hashas, is in the side of the Gemara, Rabbi Kivi Eger, and Gilyonei Hashas, which is written by Rav Yosef Engel. So he just brings down from the Arizal, and this is one of the Svarim I told you, I was learning this, a lot of alum this year, he starts bringing these Svarim, which made me wonder what these Svarim were. But he quotes from the Arizal, that's why we say, Hayom Haras Olam, Rosh Hashanah, because Herayon is conception, when a child is conceived, but the Leida doesn't take place until the birth of Am Yisrael. So that's consistent with the Lashon of Yom HaRas Olam. There's machshava, a concept, conception that was created, formulated on Tishrei, so there's no stira. Eilu v'eilu divrei elokim chayim. So the Ran asks the question, then according to Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that really the world was created in Nisan, so how come we don't celebrate Rosh Hashanah in Nisan? How come there isn't Yom HaDin in Nisan? Rosh Hashanah is meaningless. Aleph Tishrei is meaningless, according to Rabbi Yeshua. What's the relevance of Rosh Hashanah? There's no significance in Yom HaDin. So this is where the interesting Ran and Marsha, they explain that. I'm just probably review for most of you, probably got to see all this. But just to recap, make sure everyone got it right, or just a Stam Chazar is good. The Ran explains on Gimel and Aleph in the Rif, he says, nearly Shiratza Hamakum Lazakos Yisrael Bidinam, Viratza Ladon Yisrael Bizman Shehukva Lekapar Leslicha. You're right. According to Bishua, Aleph Tishrei, nothing really significant happened, says the Ran. But since it's a time of Slicha v'Kaparot, Yimei Ratzon, it's a time when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the second Luchos, Shilfish and Esratze, Kaddish Baruch Hu, B'Yom HaKippurim, Hukva Yom Slicha L'Doros, Hafikach Gazer Hashem, Hashem Shei Adam Nidom Rosh Hashanah. Shetadikim Gemurim Nechtavim, Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted to give us an extra chance. So since Yom Kippur was the Yom Slicha Mechila, Rosh Hashanah leads into Yom Kippur, Kodesh Baruch Hu felt, this is an appropriate place, maybe a little bit not fair. I mean, fair in favor of us. It wasn't so it wasn't an equal judgment, but he wanted to tip the scale in favor of us. So he says, we'll judge you near Yom Kippur. Can I have a little bit more extra rachmanis in that time of year? So that's what the Ran explains. Marsha has a difficulty with this. Marsha says, he doesn't find that this answer is satisfactory. Marsha says, "Ein ze maspik." The liya dana akati lama nikva Rosh Hashanah be'echa bilchodesh. Bishu, why the first of Tishrei? Maybe the second, the third, the fourth. Maybe it should have been erev Tishrei, erev Yom Kippur. Rather, we should be judged. So, why Aleph Tishrei? It's a Rosh Chodesh, so it's like a nice even month. Everything's rounded off. According to the Ran, there's no significance of Aleph Tishrei for the Ran.
Is he also bothered why we should really have the Yom Kippur after we're forgiven?
He asked, I think, just a question. He's concerned why particularly Aleph Tishrei. That seems to have no bearing in terms of why that should be the day. It could be Beis, Gimel, Dal, Hei, Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes. Any day before Yom Kippur should work. But why Dafka Aleph Tishrei? So he says, Nira diri vade mode de kama devarim nasu rishon. Of course he agrees. Many things happen Aleph Tishrei. Rebel is not arguing on that concept. Bo nifka desara, Rachel, v'chana. That's why we read the pasuk in Parsha Vayera on one day Rosh Hashanah, Hashem pocheted Sarah. She was remembered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She had a child. She was Zochet Yitzchak Avinu. Yosef left from jail that day. But la vodasa mevodaseinu b'mitzrayim. Many things happened in Rosh Hashanah. So it wasn't just Stam choosing a random day near Yom Kippur. There's a reason. So the combination of the Ran and the Marsha says he wanted to have Klai Yisrael judged near Yom Kippur. It's the day of Slicha Mechila. And which day to choose? They chose Aleph Tishrei because that had a history of wonderful events happening. Vashem Pakad Asara, the Avdus in Mitzrayim stopped. Now there's certain days of the year that there's good mazel and bad mazel. We're right now in the time period of 3 weeks of bad mazel. So they asked the question, Chassam Tov asks the question, isn't there an isser of machshefa, of choosing a good time to go, a bad time to go? You know, a black cat walks in front of a person, it's a bad mazel. You walk under a ladder, it's bad mazel. We don't go based on good mazel, bad mazel. So how can we say if you have a din Torah and Adar, you should go for that? It's a good mazel for Am Yisrael. You have a din Torah with a goy and Av, you should push it off. Chodesh Av is mazel ra. How does that work? No such thing as mazelos. Ain mazel Yisrael, the Gemara in Shabbos says. So when the Chassam Sofer says it, unclear exactly what he means. This is my understanding, at least. When I saw this a number of years ago, I saw Shechter. I don't know if he explained it, but I think the understanding is it's not that it's mazel. Mazel is like you're going for the lottery. It's just by chance. When something reoccurs on a particular day, that's not mazel anymore. That means that ingrained in the day that exists is a day that's tov, the day that good things happen. Not because mazel, you just chanced upon it. It's not mazel. The Gemara calls it mazel. But there's a time where there's tov in the world. And there's a time where there's a ra. Not that you're guessing. History has proven to us that 3 weeks is a bad time. 9 days is a bad time. Adar's a good time. So Aleph Tishrei, what he's saying here is, yes, Aleph Tishrei isn't a day of Maisa Bereishis, according to Rabbi Yoshua. But in the end of the day, it's a day that good things happen. Vashem Pakad Asara, and again, Yosef left them Be'isa Asurim. So this is another type of Mazel Tov, like Adar. And that's why they chose Aleph Tishrei, in order to lead into a day of Yom Slicha U'Mechila. That's the understanding of the Marsha. Now, the Aruch Haner, he says there's no stira at all. He goes back to the Tosa that we just saw. He says both of these days, Aleph Tishrei and Aleph Nisan, were both days of Maisa Bereishis. He quotes from the Rabbeinu Tam, Ve'elu Elu Dibra Kimchayim, that B'Tishrei Olav Machshav Libaros, Lo Nivra Ad Nisan. So even Rabbi Yeshua, who says the world was created in Nisan, agrees the Machshava was created in Tishrei. I mean, according to Rabbeinu Tam, they don't argue. They just question, should we celebrate Rosh Hashanah, or do we say the world is created as Machshav? Is that considered creation? Or is Maisa considered creation? They both agree, though, the Machshav happened Aleph Tishrei, and the Maisa happened Aleph Nisan. They're just debating, what do you call creation of the world? Is a Maisa called creation of the world, or is a Machshav called creation of the world? But certainly the Machshav happened on Aleph Tishrei, and therefore it's appropriate, even for Rabbi Yeshua, to have such a day of Rosh Hashanah on Aleph Tishrei. And then he goes on to explain, which is why I wanted to talk about the second half of the shir, the remaining part of the shir, is that Kishira, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world initially, he quotes the Medrash, the Rashi quotes, Kishira, Bereish Bar Lokim, which is Yom Hadin, and Midas Hadin, u'Kishira, Shelo Yamod Shitav Rachmim Im Hadin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked a little bit further, that he saw that the world could not exist in Midas Din, so he had to couple together Rachmim with a Din. He had to soften it, he had to neutralize it a bit. As it says later, B'yom Asos Hashem Elokim, he fused the two together, Midas Rachmim, Midas Din, says the Aruch Haner. So initially, when he had Olam Machshav and Tishrei, that was Yom HaDin, so that's why he gets judged, it's a day of Din. But B'yom Asos, the creation of the world, when he infused it with the day of Rachamim, with Hashem, Yudke Vavke, that was in Nisan. So that's how the Aruch Haner explains all this. I said the other day, I think last week, that Tishrei is Yimei HaDin, that's why Tav Shin Resh, whenever the letters are backwards, that's Din. Tav Shin Resh are backwards. And Chodesh Ha'aviv Nisan is Aleph Beis in the forward, that's always Midas Rachamim. So that's the difference. So it just got me to think of this Indian of Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Because the Zohar tells us that Beis Hillel is Midas Rachamim, Beis Shammai is Midas Din. And we also have the Gemara in Eirvin says that Beis Hillel Beis Shammai argued for many, many years, and yet they're Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elkim Chaim. They're both true. Even though they're contradictory, they're both true. That's the Gemara Eirvin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Gemara asks, well, if they're both true, how come we paskin Shilas like Beis Shammai? Gemara says for two reasons. Number one is because Beis Hillel would always mention Beit Shammai's opinion also and mention it first. He would acknowledge it. It was a expression of humility. And this is what Beit Shammai says, and we happen to think this, like in a very secondary way. And then also, because they were min ha'aluvim, they were insulted, they didn't stand up for themselves, they took the heat, they took the insults. And because of the anivus, so the Gemara says we're passing like Beit Hillel over Beit Shammai, but they're true, they're both right. Eilu ve'ilu, divrei Elokim Chaim. I share with you the story yet about the Gra and Taz and the Shach, why passing like the Shach of the Taz?
No.
So, there's a Rav Shechter writes to someone, he says this, but he also writes in one of the Svarim, I think you heard it from Rav Soloveitchik. When we learn your day, Rav Soloveitchik only learned the Shach and taught the Shach, he didn't really teach the Taz so much. When you open up a Shulchan Aruch, every chelik of Shulchan Aruch have different Mefarshim on the side. So, for example, Archaim, you have the Taz, the Magen Avram. The older one is always in the inside column. Like Rashi is older than Tosfos. Rashi is in the inside column, and the outer one is always the older one. Tosfos is on the outside. So you have Shulchan Aruch, the inside column is Taz, and Orchaim, and the Magen Avraham is the outside. The Magen Avraham came afterwards. So in your Yerdeya, you have Taz on the inside, and the Shach is on the outside. And Taz came first. So we always, Paskin, almost always Paskin like the Shach. We learn the Taz, but those who go through Shulchan Aruch Yerdeya quickly, they learn just the Shach for the most part. Why is that? So the Maaseh, I couldn't say such a thing if I didn't hear from Rav Shechter, see Rav Shechter write this. But the Taz was very old when he wrote his Perush on Yerdeya. And the Shach came along, and the Shach was a very young man in the 20s, I think, and he wrote his Perush. Taz felt like, how's a 20-year-old able to come in and write a Perush like, on the Shulchan Aruch? I mean, I spent years, I didn't write this till I was whatever age I was. And the Shach comes along and writes a Perush at 25 years old. And he had a little chalish adas because of this, and he was a little upset and a little jealous, whatever the feelings were. And so for that reason, the Gra explained, that's why we always learn the Shach and pass like the Shach, because it takes a nevus for someone to pass him like that. And actually, another great mice with the Shach, just on this topic, not this topic, slightly different, but the Shach was once in a Din Torah. And someone claimed that the Shach owed money, or maybe the Shach claimed someone owed him money. So the two of them were talking, and they said, we'll go to a Beis Din. Let's go to a Beis Din, and we'll go figure out who owes who money. So the Shach, before he went, he said, let me just learn the sugya one more time, make sure I'm not wrong. He learned the sugya really, really well. And he says, yeah, the guy owes me money. So the two Bali didn't go to the Din Torah, they go to the Beis Din, and the Dayan Paskin that the Shach owed money. The Shach was floored. He accepted it. He's a Makabel, whatever the Dayan says. But he said, do you mind just, I'm not questioning, I just want to know what the source was. So he says, sure, I'll show you. He goes to the Svarim Shrank and he takes out a sefer, the Shach's Perish in Shulchan Aruch. And he shows him exactly where the Shach was wrong. So even though Shach himself wrote that, it's proving that the person is no gei b'davar. No matter how a person's involved, no matter what a tzaddik, what a talmid chacham a person is, he couldn't see the other side, even though he himself passed against himself in the sefer he wrote. So he gave the money, he just wanted to understand. It just shows how nogei a person could be, no matter how great a person might be. So either way, so Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, or Elu ve'Elu, Divrei Elokim Chaim. But Beis Shammai, as the Zohar says, is Midas Din, and Beis Hillel is Midas Rachamim. We see this in the Gemara as well. I know when you say Din and Rachamim, it always sounds like you're getting a little bit deep here. I'm going to just quote Gemaras here, other than the Zohar. The Gemara in Shabbos says, nothing against Zohar. Nothing against that, but just like this is a Shir Halacha, so, but it's important to even see in the Gemara that the Gat and Machshav is very, very crucial, and it's very relevant, even just the Gat is in the Gemara. So we know the famous Gemara is in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph, for the Beis Hillel and Shammai had encountered the three different Gerim. One wanted to learn only Torah Shebichsav, and Hillel says, okay, I'll teach you Torah Shebichsav, this is Aleph Beis Gimel. The next day he comes to learn, he says, okay, this is an Aleph, and that's really a Beis, and he switched around the order, and he says, yesterday you told me this is an Aleph, now you're telling me this is an Aleph. So that's what you need Torah Shebaal Peh as well. So he was a Miskayer. Shammai threw the guy out of the house first. Then the guy wanted to learn everything on regular Achas, but Shammai says, you're crazy. Shammai sent him out. Hillel converted him. Then the guy wanted to become the Kohen Gadol. Shammai says, you can't be a Kohen Gadol. Hillel says, let's learn. So these three geirim, these three different ma'asim, the Gemara says they ended up meeting at some place. And they've all said, thank goodness for the anivus of Hillel, and Baruch Hashem, we didn't get stuck into the kapdonus of Shammai. Shammai was a kapdon, Hillel was a midah of Av, a midah of Rachamim. We have another Gemara in Ksubas, Daf Tev Zayin, and Mbeiz. The Gemara in Ksubas talks about Kate Meraktim Lefnei Akala. How do you dance in front of the Kala? Kala na Chasuda. Chasuda. So, Shammai says, even if she's not so Noah, you would say that? Kala na Chasuda? Hillel says, of course. Shammai said, but if she's really not so Noah, you shouldn't say that. It's lying. Midvar Sheker Tirchak, the Pasuk says. So Shammai says, if she's Noah, so you say Noah. If she's not, you don't say she's Noah. You can't say. You just dance. You don't say any words. So Hillel says, how can you say such a thing? A guy buys something in the shuk. A terrible purchase, but there's no return policy. So you're going to tell the guy you bought a lemon? No, you got a very nice ass hook. It's beautiful. In his world, it's beautiful. So Shammai was a little bit more easygoing in terms of his av, in terms of his chesed, and Shammai called it as it is. If she wasn't so Noah, he said, you weren't so Noah. So these are the midos of Shammai, the midos of Hillel. And this idea of din virachamim, of their midos, manifests itself in halacha as well, hadei paskin. So this explains something interesting. So if you look now, hopefully you got a chance to see the Mishnah in Avos. Mishnah Avos, as we know, kol mechlokes shehi l'shem shemayim sof l'skayim. V'sheinu l'shem shemayim eino sof l'skayim. So what does that mean, a machlokes l'shem shemayim is going to last forever? I mean, we have to machriya, think of a psak. It doesn't last forever. And the classic example the Mishnah says is, what's l'shem shemayim? Hill of v'shamayim. It's not a machlokes l'skayim. Beis Shammai ain't a Mishnah. We don't pass like Beis Shammai. So it's not l'skayim. It's Beis Hillel, and we just knocked off Beis Shammai. He's Beis Shammai ain't a Mishnah here. So what does it mean it's l'skayim? So the Chidah explains in his commentary in the Mishnah, he says, based on the Mekubalim say, because l'asir lavo, he halacha ki Beis Shammai. That's what it means l'skayim. When a pass like Beis Shammai, l'asir lavo, it's going to be like him, l'skayim. So what's going to change in the times of Shammai? In the times of Mashiach, we're going to pass like Shammai? If you just think about Halach Lamaisa, the first night of Hanukkah, imagine lighting 8 candles. And the last night, lighting just like 1 candle. It's a strange thing. So, what the Sisei Chachamim writes, he explains the whole idea of Shammai and Hillel is this yesod of Shammai is din and Hillel is rachamim. The world was created Bereshis Bar Lakim as a day, as a world of din, and we couldn't handle that. So Kadosh Baruch Hu had to infuse the midah rachamim. But la'asa lavo, we're going to revert back to the way the world was initially, to a world of Bereshis Bar Lakim, just a yom hadin. It's all yemei hadin. It's going to come to a time, there's a discussion whether or not everything's going to come back. Will Misa exist in the times of Moshe Mashiach? Misa only came about because of Gan Eden. But before the Chet of Adam Arishon, but before that Chet, Misa didn't exist. So how far back are we going to unravel the entire world? So the Maral says, so there's a question, the Rambam Paskin, like Shmuel, that says, Ein Bein Om Hazel Om Haba, the world of Mashiach is going to be the same exact world we live in. We're going to have phones, we're going to have computers, we're going to have electricity, we're going to have cars, we're going to have other things. Everything's going to be the same exactly the way it is according to the Rambam. The only difference, says the Rambam, is Shibud Malchus Bavad. Just who's in charge? So then the Maral says, does that mean there'll still be Misa? People are going to come back to life and they'll die? Some say yes. Some say there'll be death. That's a whole other sugya. The Maral says, no. It won't be true. Misa, we had a time in life, in history, where Misa didn't exist. It's not a new world. But for a chet of Adam and Chava, there was a world that there was no Misa. There's not something new. Ein chadash tachas Hashemes. It's not brand new. There was a time where death didn't exist. So when we reintroduce immortality, it's not a chiddush. It's just going back to the way the world was initially created. And the Gemara goes through many, many examples of this. The Gemara says, that I think Rabbi Yochanan was once giving shir, and he said, "Yimos Mashiach, a woman's going to give birth like every day." So how could that be? Ain chadash achas Hashemis, tachas Hashemis doesn't make sense. You can't have a new chiddush. Shmuel says, "Ain bein olam hazeh l'olam haba," except for shibud malchus bavad. So now women were once pregnant for 9 months, and now they're giving birth every single day. It can't be. And I think Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Gamliel, I don't forget who it was, says, "No, take a look at a chicken. Every day they give birth to an egg. It's not a chiddush. It might be a chiddush to apply to a woman, but such a thing exists. And every single day, bread's going to come out from the ground. How can that be? Bread comes out from the ground? And chadash shachas Hashemesh." He says, "No, I'll bring you an example." He brings an example of something like that comes from the ground. So it all exists in the world. It's not going to be a chiddush. We're going to go back to that way it once was before the chait of Adam and Chava. I believe Rav Kook says that everyone on the rung, you know, there's Adam and Behema and Tzemach and Domim. So I think he says, in Mos Mashiach, everything's going to jump up a rung. Like a Domim is going to be a Tzemach. Tamech would be a Behema. Behema would be like an Adam. And Adam would be like a Malach. Everything just goes up the way it once was before Chayt of Adam and Chava. So that's what it means that we're going to postulate Beis Shammai L'Asalavo. Because it's going to be a day of din. Bereshis Bar Elokim. It's going to go back to that world that Kadosh Baruch Hu initially wanted to create the world with. So that's the first explanation as to why we postulate like Beis Shammai. But there's another approach which I think parallels this idea. The Rav Kochavar talks about this, as does Rav Yosef Engel, that every machlokas beis hillel beis shammai could be understood as machlokas between ruchnias and gashmias, or machshava and maisa. The world of ruchnias is the world of machshava. That's the world of tishrei, all of a machshava. And the world of hillel is the world of maisa, the world of gashmias. So we see this in many, many places. Came out every machlokas by Silva Shama, you go take a look, it could probably be brought back to this piece. There are different ways to say it, Eichas and Kamas, but let's leave it. I think Ruchnis and Gashmias, Machshav and Maisa might be the clearest way to understand it, but it's all different ways of saying the same Chakira. So, a few examples. Gemara and Chagiga explains that this machlokas by Silva Shama, how the world was created. Which was created first? Shemayim, and then Aretz, or was it Aretz and then Shemayim? So they bring different psukim, which indicate different things. Shammai says, which was created first? What would you think?
Shemayim.
Shemayim is the world of machshava, the world of ruchnias. And then the lamb was created, and Hillel says no. First Haaretz, and then afterwards Shemayim, because Hillel always focused on Lamaisa. He always focused on the world of Gashmis. There's a machlokis in the Mishnah in Bava Metzia about Shaleach Yad, a shomer, has to watch a pikadon, and he's responsible for certain things that happen to it, but if he does a proper shmira and something unexpected happens, he's pater. But let's say he's shalech yad, which means he uses that item. He touches that item. He abuses that item. So there, it's the machlokas, whether the person, if a person touches it, lemaisa touches the pikadon, it's now called shalech yad. He's more responsible than he was before him. But let's say the mishnah hachoshev, the shalach yad. He thinks, he wants to, he has a machshava to touch the item. Is that now going to be considered a shlichas yad or not? So what do you think Shammai says? Yes. Ha-choshev l'shalach yad, that's called shlichas yad. It's only machshava, but because Shammai lives in the world of machshava, the world of ruchnis. This is a halachic point. This is the Ragachev explaining this. Shalach yad, that's considered a ke'ilu yuramamish l'maisa shalach yad. But according to Hillel, on that mission, the Hillel says, no. Only if you actually lemaisa touch the item, the pikadon, are you responsible? Is it called shlichas yad? But if you just have a machshava, Hillel lives in the world of maisa, the world of gashmi. There's another misha in the beginning of Shabbos, towards the beginning of Shabbos, that Beis Hillel says you're allowed to leave an action, let's say like the sprinklers. You could leave the sprinklers on Erev Shabbos, and they continue to go on Shabbos itself. You could soak ink or other things in a vat of water, and let it continue to soak on Shabbos. you could let food bake and cook from before Shabbos and let it continue to go. That's all Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to do that. You can't start the process now and let it go. Because since my machshava now Erev Shabbos was to complete the ma'isa on Shabbos, so that machshava alone is considered a violation of Hilchos Shabbos according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says, no. I did the ma'isa right now. The ma'isa is done now. What happens afterwards? Who cares? I put the food in the oven now. I put the ink in the vat to soak. I did whatever. The ma'isa, everything was done now from my part, and therefore I can't be responsible for a malacha. But Hillel lived in the world of ma'isa, while Shammai lived in the world of machshava. If your thought to have a malacha take place right now, then you're in violation of it. And one last application of this is the machlok is about lighting Neres Chanukah. Where Shammai says you go from 8 down to 1, and Hillel says you go from 1 to 8. And that's because Hillel was very much l'maisa. What's tonight? Which night? Tonight's the first night, so I light one candle. Tonight's the second night, I light two candles. He lived l'maisa. He lived in the world of Haaretz, the world of Gashmi. But Shammai lived in the world of Machshava. What's going to be? So tonight, we have 8 nights left of Chanukah. We have 7 nights left b'machshava. You think ahead, not just the current state. You look what's going to be. So you see this machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in many, many different arenas. In light of this, we can understand, I think, now a different explanation brought by Rav Chanan Wasserman why we pass like Beis Shammai, why we will pass like Beis Shammai at the Asa level. So that's the last Mar Makom. He writes in Kovet Shiurim, he says, V'nira tam lezeh, why will we paskin like Beis Shammai l'asa lavo? D'ha Beis Shammai mechade de tfei? Beis Shammai, the truth is they're much sharper, smarter, wiser than Beis Hillel, which to me is more about the world of machshava, the world of thought is a higher level than ma'isa. Right? You can have all the thoughts in the world, all the fantasies of the world. There's no limit to my ability to fantasize. L'maisa, I have to do something. I have to make a decision. I could fantasize about having billions of dollars, but l'maisa, I don't. L'maisa, I need to do something to get money. I could fantasize about having the nicest house and the nicest car, the nicest clothing, but l'maisa, I need to do something to get it. I need to limit myself. So the world of ma'isa is a much more limited world we live in. The world of machshava is a much deeper world, because again, it could go much deeper places. So Beis Shammai, who lived in that world of machshava, the world of shemayim, he's mechadid etfei, much sharper. People are so smart, sometimes can't articulate what they have to say because it's so deep and so profound. So in the world we live in, we don't understand Beis Shammai. We can't comprehend him. He's so deep. It's such a deep world of machshava. He's mechadid etfei. And the truth is, emes kedivrei, he's right. He's really correct. Elo de bizman hazeh, nowadays in our world, ain't anu yuchon le'ered l'sof da'itam. We can't understand what he says. And we can't paskin something we don't understand. There's a great ma'isa in the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the beginning, the first parak. The Mar talks about giving smicha. Right? There's smicha in the times of Moshe and Yeshua, where Moshe put his hands on, Vayismach Yadav, he gave smicha to Yeshua. And then there's a smicha we have nowadays where a rabbi gets smicha. It's not really smicha. Real smicha is with Yadayim, you have a certain Masorah. Our smicha is really what's called in the Tilas Rishus. You have a license, you were given Rishus to Paskin and Shiloh. So back in the times of Europe, they would have to master all Dal Chelke Shulchanar. Imamish knew it backwards and forwards. Here in America, you have to just know that there is a four chalke shulchan aruch. That's pretty much it. And there is a fourth and a chalakim on the shelf. Zehu. And maybe know some of the sections of them. Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos, whatever else is there. So, but in the times of Gemara, so they had something similar that they would have a special smicha in different areas. In the Tis Rishus, in what they call Yorah, which is Yardea. Itzer v'heter, bas v'chov, tarovis topics. Then they have something was yadin yadin. It's a choshe mishpat. It's a different world of choshe mishpat. The mission, the last mission in Maseches Bava Basra says, I wrote to l'hachem, you want to be smart? You should be yored into the world of choshe mishpat. It's the highest forms of wisdom out there. So there's yora yora, there's yadin yadin, and there's, who knows what the other one is called? Anyone know? No one knows the first parak of Sanhedrin? Yatir, Yatir. What does Yatir, Yatir mean? Huh? Yeah, interesting. The Gemara does not mention Ebenezer, interestingly. Nor does it mention Or Chaim. Those, I guess, were assumed that it was known. But the Gemara does mention that Masada Kedushin must be very very well-versed in world of Kedushin and Gittin to be Masada Kedushin. But no, in terms of Tias Rishus, it says Yati Yati means Yatir Bechoros. If a Bechor has a mum, you have to know what's considered a good mum. The whole Masechus, most of Masechus Bechoros is about what's a mum. Different things in the eye and different limbs and variety of mumim. So you need to have an expert, be an expert in this. So the Gemara says that, I think it was Rebbe, spent 18 months on a farm to be familiar with Bechor and mumim. I was up in Kaylee for Shabbos. I spent the Shabbos with Rabbi Sibalovsky there. And he gave a shiur in Tfilas Kalim, about Tfilas Kalim when there's no mikvah available, given the, more, I guess not as current, but the previous issues of the mikvahs during COVID-19. So just happened to be, he mentioned on the way up to camp, he said he stopped off Rabbi Center, not the Rabbi Center of the yeshiva, but he has a brother, part of Chafke, which is a kasher organization in Tinek. He has a farm not too far from Kaylee, and he went to go see, and Rabbi Solovsky has a very strong fascination with Bechor. He has a sefer on Bechoros, Maseches Bechoros, he wrote. So he's showing him Petach Hamor. I told you that's fascinated by Petach Hamor as well. I wish I would have known. I would have stopped off there also. But now I can tell my friend where to buy a Petach Hamor from. This guy, Rebbe Center. Anyway, so he stopped by, and he saw like a Bechor, and he saw Petach Hamor, all these different dinim. So the only way to learn these things is if you see it. You can't just learn when I learned Bescharos, I had the art school, the picture books, and trying to figure out where exactly is like the heart, where's the liver, where's the kidney. I don't know what these things are. So you can do the best you can, but unless you actually see it in real life, you can't really appreciate it. Chaim, it's well known that he has a sefer on grasshoppers. So when he was finishing up the sefer, he didn't know what a certain grasshopper looked like. So he sent his daughter to go buy a picture book, and she came back and didn't have what he wanted, and another book, and nothing happened until the famous Maisa that the grasshopper showed up on his table, or maybe it was on the wall, whatever wherever it showed up on, and he saw the grasshopper, he was able to look at the wings and the legs, and he was able to finish the sefer, and then it left, and then he forgot to look at one more thing, the grasshopper came back a second time, and then he was able to be mashlim the sefer. Certain things you can't pasuk unless you actually see. So Rebbe spent, I think, 18 months to learn a mum, mumim on Bechor, to be yatir yatir. The Gemara says, in the end of the day, they wouldn't paskin based on Rebbe, even after all the time and effort he put in. Why not? Because he was so good, he was too good at knowing Bechor and mumim, no one would understand what he would say. Like, if they, that's mutter. So then, if Rebbe said that's mutter, this is probably also mutter. But I wouldn't know the differences, because he was so sharp in it, we couldn't accept. So Shammai was so sharp, so above anyone else, if we can't understand that, we can't pasuk. Now it's not true. But Loba Shammai, we have to decide what we can understand here. So says Rav Hanan, he says, the Bizmana is there, ain't anu yuchon le'ir lasov daitam, we can't understand what Shammai be Shammai holds. It's like what the Gemara says, goliv yadua, she'ein bedor shu Rabbi Meir, come out, so there's no one like Rabbi Meir. But sometimes the most brilliant people, most brilliant Talmidei Chachamim, we don't understand what they say. They're too smart for us. We just don't understand their language or the speed at which their mind works. So in the world, the simple world we live in, we can't paskin like Rabbi Meir, nor can we paskin like Beis Shammai. About us in love on the times of the future, sheyakuyam hakasav, the pasuk is going to be fulfilled in Mala Haaretz Hadeya, it's going to be full of Deya, of knowledge, of awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a high level of Das, then Yizbarei Hashem Emes K'Beis Shammai, it will become clear that Beis Shammai is correct, but Karachach Yalacha K'mosim, because again, he lived in the world of Machshava. So these are two approaches why Paschal like Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. They're connected, but not for now. But just the simple understanding is either because Shammai's Din and Hillel's Rachamim, and therefore, the Asalava is going to be the world of Elokim, the world of Din, or because it's going to be a world of Machshava, a deeper understanding for us. And that connects to this discussion of a Tishrei and Nisan, Tishrei being the world of Machshava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of Machshava. He wanted to create the world Machshava, which is the Din, that's why it's Yom HaDin, which is connected to Shammai, who's both Din and Machshava. And Nisan is the time of Hillel, the time of Chesed, so it happens to be a month where we say Hallel a lot. Pesach's the time of Hallel. But to conclude, the Kamarna explains that Lasa Lava, we're going to pass like both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, they're both true. Elu ve'elu, divya kim chayim. Unclear how that will be, But at the end of the day, that's what he says. So, Elu Elu Dibak of Chaim. Okay, so we'll stop here. Yimitz Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue right in the Gemara. And we're going to learn about the shear of shofar, what the size of a shofar has to be. Unless everybody said Kandinsky, whichever day he gives shear, I'll do the other day. So we'll do a shear either Tuesday or Wednesday. Okay.